We're talking about what it's like to be a personal shopper in a pandemic. The specifics may be different depending on the company, but here's the gist. Customers stay home. They pick out what they want from a store online and submit the order. Then someone with the third-party service picks up the items, checks out, and delivers them. Customers pay a little more for the convenience and tip, but they don't leave the house. And that means delivery workers are on the go all the time. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're part of this conversation we're having with people who shop for other people during a global health crisis. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Have you been delivering food during this pandemic? What's the job like? What do you think of the work? Or have you relied on food delivery services like Instacart during the pandemic? What do you think of the service, and do you have any reservations? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We have two guests with us now. Marquise Mason is the youth program lead at Kennedy Heights Community Center in Madison. He's been delivering groceries for Instacart since March. Marquise, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
And we are also talking with Jessica Brem, who's been delivering food in the Milwaukee area for DoorDash for a year and also delivering groceries for Instacart since August. Jessica, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you.
Marquise, let's start here. You work for the Kennedy Heights Community Center in Madison. Why did you start working for Instacart, too?
With the pandemic kind of suddenly just happening, and us not really having an idea what was going on, we decided to shut down our programming. So until we got we're one of the fortunate people to get one of the grants, so we're getting paid now. But I was just looking for a way, one, to get out the house. I had a newborn, and, when you have newborns, you immediately think about money and, how secure you are. So I was thinking of the easiest way possible to make money quickly, and that's when I came across Instacart.
What is it like to buy someone else's groceries?
Honestly, I signed up for it a couple years ago, and it's really weird, and so it took me a while to get used to do my first delivery, but once you do it, it's fine. It's great because you get to fulfill people's orders and stuff without really having to try to work too hard in other areas, but it's also kind of stressful depending on what store you're in, and kind of just makes you realize how how you don't know the store layout very well.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that you learn that very quickly when you're trying to find things that maybe you don't normally buy, but this person wants to. Jessica Brem, how did you get started doing this work?
I was a stay-at-home mom, so I was, thinking about ways I could make money. And Dash, at the time, was, I was making maybe $5 here and there for just delivering fast food. So I was, my husband came across Instacart, just popped up through Facebook, and I was like, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And then we joined a group on Facebook, and everyone was saying, they make so much money. So it was $20 here for one delivery. So that's in an hour. So I'm okay, well, I'll give that a try. And it was something I could do that while being a stay-at-home mom. So.
And what has your experience been like as we've transitioned to this kind of work during the pandemic? Have things changed for you?
The tips got higher, so the money got better. A lot of people were making thousands of dollars a month just on Instacart. So it helped because of the fact that a lot of people lost their jobs, and with quarantine and stuff, many people relied on this service.
Marquise, are you able to make a decent living doing this, or is it really in the side gig category?
Honestly, I've had nothing but great experience. I started the first official week of pandemic, and I made $3,000 in 19 days working a total of 45 hours. So, not that it could replace my job, but it was a great supplement, for me, and I will continue to do it.
Has it stayed steady at that kind of a level? I mean, if someone signs up to do this, should they expect that continuously?
I think you're kind of lured in from what I've been reading. I also joined the group that Jessica joined as well. And I think you're kind of lured in the first as a new shopper. So I was getting anywhere. They're called batches. And there's usually one or two batches depending on what store you're at. But long story short, you know, I was making $200 a day. it's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And Jessica, what about when it comes to tips? These services allow people to put a tip in at the beginning, but then I understand that sometimes they can change it. What's your experience been with the money that individual customers say that they're going to give you for doing this, you know, work that does expose you more to other people when we have a contagious disease going around?
Some people like the tip bait, and they will put in like $50 for a tip, and you think it's a really good batch. You take it, you do their shopping, which is like probably like 80 to 100 some units, and it takes you about an hour, hour and a half. You deliver it to their house, wasting your gas, and you're so good about delivering their groceries, and you move on to the next, and then that night you find out they took the whole entire tip away. So it does put a damper on them. That they can actually take the tip away. Like, we're trying to tell Instacart, like, they should have to jump through hoops before they can take the tip completely away.
Is the idea that you should be able to change the tip if you got exceptional service, or if the worker didn't quite do it right, so you can make that adjustment? Is that the concept in not committing to the tip overall?
Basically, yeah.
Sure. Okay.
That's basically it.
Sure. So there's a reason there that maybe somebody might want to, good or bad, adjust a tip, but you're saying that people are using it in a way that is mm-hmm. undermining to your service that you're giving them, Jessica.
Right. Because, like, some people would order, a week in advance, and then they wouldn't be able to get to their... Because we're so backed up that they wouldn't be able to get to their list of stuff right away. So they would put on a high tip. So their shopping experience would be the first priority. And they would get their food faster than everybody else that's been waiting longer. So basically that's why they do it. Another way that we lose our tip or some of it is if the store is out of what they want. So I don't see how that could be, like, why is that our fault?
Right, right. It's not your fault that the store is out of eggs, but you didn't give it to me, yeah. So I'm gonna dock your tip. We are talking about what it's like to buy other people's groceries during the pandemic. We are hearing from Jessica Brehm and also from Marquise Mason. And we have Elizabeth from Kenosha on the line at 800-642-1234. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
What's your experience?
Well, I do Instacart, Grubhub, Uber Eats, and DoorDash. So I pretty much do everything, and I pretty much work the Kenosha or Scene Market. I've never had a problem on Instacart with tip baiting. I know some shoppers have had that. Thankfully, I haven't had that. That's not a problem I have. Instacart's generally been pretty good for me. The problem I have is more on the food delivery side with DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. One of the things that really has been a problem for me, and I think it's been a problem for a lot of drivers, and we don't talk about it very much, is the need to go to the bathroom when we're out there delivering. You know, a lot of restaurants are still closed. They're still doing curbside takeout, drive-through, and app ordering. And a lot of these restaurants have barricaded their bathrooms. They put tables, they put chairs. It's like Mount Vesuvius to get to their bathrooms. And a lot of them will put out of order or closed signs up. And I recently asked at Chipotle, because I had to go to the bathroom really bad before I picked up my order. I said, you know, I would really like to use your restroom before I pick up my order. And the guy says, well, if I let you use it, I'm going to get in trouble. You know, and I've struggled to figure out where to go during the bathroom throughout this whole process the last 3 months. thankfully, a lot of the quick trips, I can usually go in there and use a restaurant, or same thing with like Walgreens or CVS Pharmacy. Their restrooms are open to me. But these restaurants, they get really, what's the word I'm looking for? They get really kind of agitated, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, when you ask if you can use their restroom. They just won't let you use it. And I don't know why DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats can't reach out to these restaurants and say, please let our delivery partners, if they have to use your restroom, use your restroom. Because you have a lot of drivers, they have such a problem figuring out where to go. They have toilet paper in the car. They have disinfectants. They have hand sanitizer in the car. They're using Mother Nature out there in secluded spots to literally go to the bathroom.
Elizabeth, thank you for raising that with us. And Marquise, we're short on time in this moment, but it sounds like you understand. It's hard to take care of yourself when doing this work.
Yeah, 100%. Instacart has done a great job, I guess, a decent job in sending us safety kits, but ultimately it really comes down to how well you're prepared when you're going into the stores. I generally keep disinfectant spray, a mask, and gloves if I have them available in my car, just in case.
Marquise Mason and Jessica Brehm are our guests. Thanks again to caller Elizabeth at 800-642-1234. We're talking about what it's like to deliver groceries for people right now, and we are taking your calls. What do you want to know about the conditions for people doing this kind of work? Are you torn, or do you think that people are being paid a wage to shop for you so you don't have to put yourself at risk, and that's good enough? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our guests stay with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about food delivery services in the pandemic. We heard from a worker in Racine who shops and delivers groceries during the day and spends all evening dropping off food orders. They write, I get home, shower, and get ready for bed. Sleeping is often difficult. In the morning, I get up and sometimes find it hard to go out and do my deliveries. But I tell myself I need to go and make money, otherwise I can't pay my bills. Are you living this life? Are you a food delivery server, driver? Do you feel safe doing this work right now? What do you think about when you order groceries online to be delivered to your house? What moral quandaries do you have? 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Jessica, as we just heard in that message, this work can be really grueling. Jessica Brehm in Milwaukee, you work for Instacart and DoorDash. How has it been for you?
Pretty scary, basically. You're going into stores during this pandemic and stuff. So you have to like make sure you wear a mask. And I was wearing gloves in the beginning, but I found it kind of hard to try to not cross-contaminate. So I just feel like it's easier just to sanitize my hands afterwards. So I'm just constantly sanitizing my hands before I touch my card and after I touch my card, stuff like that, and try to stay safe as possible since I have little kids at home. But yeah, sometimes I forget my mask and I have to go back to my car and get it. But it's frustrating, but hanging in there.
Do you think about that balance when you go to work, thinking about the little kids you have at home and your safety as you are around so many people doing this work?
Yeah, I do. I try to stay a distance away from people. And it helps that the shoppers have a door, leave it a door service. So I just leave it, give them a text, like with a picture that it's here, and I go.
Marquise Mason, do you feel like you're putting yourself at risk for COVID-19 when you do this work?
Yeah, I do. And it's something I've, we have a newborn. So my fiance was on high alert. So just as an extra, you know how that goes. You just don't know. But what was nice in the beginning is that Instacart shoppers had an open window. So we weren't really in the, well, I primarily do Costco because it's the biggest batches. It's the easiest way to make the most money in the shortest amount of time. So we actually, at the time, we had an open window where we were in there 6 a.m. So we were only in there with the stockers. But yeah, I mean, when I'm done every day, I have a change of clothes in my garage. I change my clothes and I use my downstairs shower, and then I come back up stairs to the rest of the family. But that's just my precaution, and my kind of thought behind it is, you know, I'm not going out and going to the bars or going out and going to these large gatherings. I'm going out to make money. So that's the thought process behind that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to weigh to support your family.
100%.
We're talking with Marquise Mason from Madison, who works for Instacart, and Jessica Brem from Milwaukee, who works for Instacart and DoorDash. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about what it's like to deliver food and groceries during a pandemic. And Nicole from Milwaukee wants to join the conversation. Hey, Nicole.
Hi there.
What are you thinking about?
I just wanted to add in another comment about the tips that we get. That I think is important for people to know is that I don't think they know that Instacart, when it comes to tips, that's kind of what we live off of most is the tips, because Instacart's not that great at paying us for these orders.
Okay. Yeah. So you deliver for Instacart then? You shop for other people?
I do. I do, yeah.
What motivated you to do that, Nicole?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, and with the pandemic, my husband's hours dropped dramatically, so I needed a way to help keep our income steady and keep the bills paid.
Yeah. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing that aspect of your life right now, and also raising the question about how pay works. Marquise, how does Instacart decide how much to pay workers for each order?
So they have you make a minimum of $7, and then they multiply that by the distance traveled from, and Jessica, you can jump in too, just in case I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they multiply it by, 60 cents per mile. So it's however many miles from the grocery store. And then it also calculates the weight of, the order as well.
The weight of the order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not necessarily about how many items. So for instance, at Costco, I can get an order. I can get paid $87 total, you know, 30 from Instacart and 50 for tips, and only have about 20 items. But that may be, you know, 4 bags of water softener. And just because of the weight of it, you get paid more.
Interesting. Jessica, you have a similar experience. How much of what you think, what you take home is actually tips versus what you get paid?
Basically, like, well, Instacart, like, sometimes I have seen where Instacart will pay, there'll be a heavy order, but they won't pay that much. They have been known to, So I would say, like, by what I take home, I will probably get more tips than from Instacart. I have seen that I get more. I thought it was really ridiculous. Like, it'll be drastic. Like, the tips would be $100 more than what Instacart pays me a week. There are times, like, there'll be so many items on a list, and Instacart will pay like $7. So, like, there would be like 80 units, and the whole thing between tips and Instacart would be like $9. I'm like, so some people won't take it because they're like, well, that's not worth it.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't shop. I don't shop for other people. This is not the work that I do. And yet I struggle a little bit thinking about, should I be ordering and having other people, as you've both said, put yourselves at risk to pick up groceries for me? And, you know, is that okay? And at the same time, maybe rationalizing a little bit and saying, well, you know, if I have them do it, then at least I'm one fewer person that they have to try to avoid in the aisles. how do you talk to people about whether you want them to use the service, Marquise?
So it basically comes down to how you feel and how you, you know, feel about grocery shopping. I mean, for me, if I was someone that was using Instacart, it's kind of a no brainer for me. In a way, it's selfish, but it's not. You know, again, these, like I said, the shoppers. You know, we aren't just, like I said, we aren't just going out and just lollygagging around. We're making money. So, if I can pay someone to get my groceries, you know, I'll do that. You know, it's one of those things where Instacart is a choice. And I think as a customer, I think you know that. So, it's kind of a give and take type of situation.
Yeah, Jessica, what do you say to people who are considering using this service? Do you encourage them to? How do you want them to treat you?
I mean, it's a great service. Like, you order groceries online, and it gets delivered to you. I mean, it can't get any better than that. The customers, I hear about customers treating people badly, but I have never seen it. I always had great customers.
Good. So just treat you picking up their groceries the same way you treat any other worker, any other service worker. Respect, dignity, those basic human principles.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We'll try to certainly operate on that. Jessica, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And Marquise, thank you for your experience, too.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Marquise Mason is the youth program lead at Kennedy Heights Community Center in Madison. He's been delivering groceries for Instacart since March. And Jessica Brem has been delivering food in the Milwaukee area for DoorDash for a year and started delivering groceries for Instacart in August. And we did have a caller, Sean from Milwaukee, noted that it's really hard to understand what the calculation is for payment beyond the base for Instacart. And it would be nice to know because it's difficult to understand. Just ahead, we talk with the NPR Student Podcast Challenge leaders and get to hear from one of the contest's honorable mentions from Verona Area High School. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.